But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live, the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday. You know, I guess it's just so commonplace for us because we have seen so many of these changes around here with these NFL teams. But the idea that the Jets, who are playing a home game, are practicing for this last game with a coaching staff that is on the field, and inside the building, there's guys being interviewed for the new GM and head coach positions is like crazy. Now, I know why the Jets did it. They want to get ahead of these things. If you're first, it's better than, you know, wait until the end of the season. But, I mean, that's awkward. I mean, I'm sorry. That is awkward.
Yeah, well, Mike Vrabel is in the building as we speak, yes. And he's in there getting interviewed and getting the lay of the land and trying to impress the Johnson brothers that he could be the next head coach of the New York Jets. He's got the Super Bowl rings. He's got the success. He had the success in Tennessee. And the more I think about him telling A.J. Brown, you're not going to get traded on my watch, shows me just how smart he is, because you see how good A.J. Brown has been with the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been like, the Eagles picked up A.J. Brown and they picked up Saquon Barkley. Think about that. Think about those two offensive players and how they have, you know, Jalen Hurts and given him another opportunity to be great again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's really amazing that when you think back to that time when Mike Vrabel said, don't trade this guy or we're not going to trade this guy, tells you that he knows what he was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a stud wide receiver. You don't want to let a guy like that go when you're seeing a bunch of these. I mean, A.J. Brown's the last of those guys that'll get traded before getting a big contract. Like, all these wide receivers that get drafted that start their careers like that get big contracts. And we've seen that, and Ja'Marr Chase is going to be the next one in line to do that.
Well, he's going to break the record, and then, of course, T. Higgins is going to be a free agent.
Yep.
You know, somehow, I get involved in these conversations, which are good conversations, because I love talking about these different players and what these players should be making, what I believe they should be making. So T. Higgins was a second-round draft choice and had to play on a franchise tag. You know, he hasn't had a chance at the second bite of the apple. You know what I mean? He deserves an opportunity to go out and make as much money as he possibly can. And everybody's thinking, well, you know, these guys got to, you know, take less money to stay together. And I'm like, well, the quarterback's already being paid $55 million. Justin Jefferson's making $38 million a year. Ja'Marr Chase is the best receiver in football this year, and his contract is up. How much you think they're going to pay him?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be astronomical. Yeah, I saw this Dan Orlovsky clip over the break where they were talking about Mike Vrabel, and he basically said, I think it was on the McAfee show, he's like, I think Vrabel's already spoken for. And he like took a sip out of his drink, like, I know something you don't type of deal. Like, there's already a place for Mike Vrabel. And I wonder what that is. I don't think it's the Jets. I don't think that has been agreed upon. But if there is like some other backhanded deal that has gone on and Vrabel is just basically doing these other interviews for the hell of doing these other interviews, I wonder where that may be.
Because now the Browns, the Bears have fired their head coach.
Saints
have fired their head coach.
Yep.
The Jaguars are going to fire their head coach, but that's tough to make a deal with another coach while Doug Peterson is still there.
Yeah, the one thing you would say in regards to the Jaguars, which everybody thinks, to me, Ben Johnson's going to.
I thought he was going to the Bears.
Listen, who knows? I guess it turns out for Mike Vrabel that he will be, he'll be wanted. He's at the right place at the right time. He's in the right moment right now to be able to extract a big contract.
Oh, okay. That Vrabel comment was in reference to Ohio State hiring Vrabel. Oh, interesting. The Dan Orlovsky comment. Really?
Why would you? Well, that was back when Ohio State lost a game to Michigan or something, right?
Mm.
And now Ohio State's in the Final Four. And they look like, to me, the
juggernaut.
Best team. Yes.
Got ourselves a juggernaut. Yeah, that. All right. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. If the Jets can convince Mike Vrabel to coach this team, I would be shocked. And I'd be impressed.
Really?
I'd say Woody and Christopher, great job.
I wouldn't let him out of the building right now.
A tranquilizer dart?
Assuming that you have the right GM in place. You know what I mean?
Tase him, maybe?
No, you give him a big contract and say, we need you to bring credibility to our franchise immediately.
And if Vrabel's going to be like, are you going to be up my butt like you were these other guys? Woods?
I think this is, you know, I wouldn't let him out of the building. If they feel really comfortable with him, I'd try to keep him in that building right now. You know how Bill Belichick watched the North Carolina Tar Heels play in the bowl game? That's how I would do it. Hire him right now to watch the team play on Sunday.
Has that ever been done before in the NFL?
I don't think so.
Are you even allowed to do that?
Why wouldn't you be? I mean, as long as you go through all the proper protocols that are required, and I think they have done that. I think they've met most of the protocols.
Imagine if the Jets hired their next head coach before this season was over. He was up in the booth with the Johnson brothers watching the game. That'd be something else. That would get the fan base excited.
It would. That's the point. The point is to electrify the fan base, electrify the business side of the building, and then let him do what he needs to do to get the best coaches. He's got to build a coaching staff, of course. There'll be a fight for coaches out there, as there is every year.
There's only two guys I would hire before the GM in this situation and then have a GM that I know would work with that guy. It'd be Vrabel and Gruden. Those would be the two guys. And I'd hire them first and then be like, all right, let's find the personnel guy that you're going to work with.
Where does Brian Flores fit into that?
No. I don't think so. He doesn't command that type of respect yet, I don't think.
I don't know, man. He looks the part on the sideline again.
Yeah, I know, but
his team
but
is playing well. I'm telling you, Sunday night, if they win Sunday night and somehow they kind of keep the Detroit Lions at bay and they win in Detroit, you know, like between him and Sam Darnold.
It's crazy.
Yeah, their futures are going to be really bright. Like I was telling Mike Valenti in that kickoff show that if Sam Darnold could win last week against the Packers and play well, which he did, play well this week and win, get the number one seed, and then win two home playoff games and go to the Super Bowl. You know how much money this kid is playing for?
Yeah, I do, man. I know.
I mean, I think he's already playing for a lot of money. Somebody's going to give him a big contract. Maybe he takes a little less to stay in Minnesota. I could see that. Could you see a Daniel Jones-type contract with him in Minnesota?
I would love that, but I don't know. I don't. I think what they're going to do is they're going to let him go, and they're going to go with J.J. McCarthy, and they're going to say, hey, we could do the same thing, if not better, with J.J. McCarthy on a rookie quarterback salary, and we'll use the money saved to bolster the rest of the roster. But, I mean, right now, it's just hard for me to talk about this now because, it's a one game, one quarter, one down at a time situation.
Yes,
I mean, they got a chance at a one seed here, and it really is the difference between like Monday. I'm going to come in saying they actually have a legitimate shot to go to the Super Bowl, or they don't. It's over. Like that's it'd be a great season. Get into the playoff game. Maybe you win one. Okay, you feel good about that. But they're not winning three games on the road and going to the Super Bowl. They're just not. And if they could prove me wrong in that situation, awesome. But I cannot have that mentality. If they win the game, I have the mentality. They can win two home games going to the Super Bowl, and I'd maybe like to go to that NFC Championship game. If they don't, I'm not going to feel great about it, and nor should any fan, really. It'd be impossible. Not impossible. Teams have done it, but it'd be close to impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be very, very, very difficult. And the same for the Lions, and it's a crime that both these teams have that five seed as the fallback. It sucks. It really does. They both should have byes.
America wants the Lions, man.
America. Okay.
Norway wants the Vikings.
The Vikings. If it weren't the Lions, people would be saying the Vikings. But it's fine. Let them be the team. Like the 1998 Vikings when they were the team. And then it was the Atlanta Falcons that came in and beat them.
Ugh.
At 14-2. And Dan Reeves during Durant.
And that Super Bowl would have been a lot better had it been the Vikings.
No crap.
Ugh.
Freaking Atlanta. Jamal Anderson and Chris Chandler. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. The Dirty Bird, baby.
That was horrible.
Yes, it was. Kicker had missed a kick all year long.
First one ever to do that. History of the NFL.
Went the entire regular season without missing a kick. But that offense was unbelievable.
Scored more points than any team in the history of the NFL up to that point.
Up and down, up and down, up and down. That's why it says defense wins championships.
Yeah, they were a bend but don't break squad that broke.
Who was their best defensive player at the time?
John Randall. They had Orlando Thomas back there.
Right, Orlando Thomas.
Robert Griffith was their safety. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Ah, those were the days.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Sorry about that. But you're activated, and that's good.
I don't know if it's good or not. It's not going to be good on Sunday night if they lose that game.
I think it's a healthy thing. Do your kids realize that you're active?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sabrina does.
Excited?
She's into it.
Does she have a Vikings jersey?
She does not. No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't be allowed to put that on her.
Why not?
Because I don't have choices when it comes to what they wear. I'm not a part of that. It's not my department, you know?
Okay.
But Gina wanted, we made a deal that we were going to raise Sabrina a Mets fan and a Steelers fan, but she has gravitated towards the Vikings.
Gina has.
Sabrina has.
Yeah, I mean, she's got to make her own decision.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're not accepting Winnie Doo-Doo's own decision.
Yeah, but Winnie Doo-Doo's dad plays for the Islanders.
Okay.
There's nothing I could do about that.
Yeah, but you're trying.
If her dad gets to 1,000 games, which hopefully he will, maybe, that would be quite the accomplishment and something she could be very proud of.
Yeah. She better be an Islander.
Listen, we got Clark Gillies' jersey in this. Absolutely. Studio.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I respect him. Respected him as a hockey player. Respected him as a humanitarian. And respected him as a friend. You know, and that's why these two jerseys are in this studio.
Yes.
Because they were very similar type, not type players, but very similar type human beings.
Indeed. Rod Gilbert and Clark Gillies.
Yes.
Absolutely. But Winnie Doo-Doo better be an Islanders fan. That'd be a travesty if she ended up not being an Islanders fan. I mean, if she was a Rangers fan, that'd be rough.
Right. She loves Sparky.
Well, yeah. Of course.
We as Rangers, we don't need a mascot.
Well, the Islanders need two. So. Niles and Sparky.
It works. Kids love it. She loves Sparky. I will say that.
I mean, I love Niles, who is like looks like a just disheveled middle-aged alcoholic. That's when he comes around in the stands. All the kids look up at him and go, "Dad." That's perfect. Absolutely perfect. This could be the most obvious answer to any question I've ever heard asked.
Right.
Here on the program. But we'll let him ask it anyway. That's John in Atlanta. What's going on, John?
Hey, good morning, boys. Welcome back. Glad to have you both back.
Yeah, man. Glad to be back. What do you got for us?
So, real quick thing, the booms first. I saw that E60, and I knew some of the story, Gunner, not the whole story, but... it's fascinating, and God bless you, Boomer, and many happy and healthy holidays for you and your family ahead of you, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you.
So my question, right before the break, Gio was kind of chiding Boomer about transitioning from a Ranger to a Knicks fan, and it made me think about Boomer's priority of his favorite teams and who would he prefer in order to win a championship. Rangers got to be one, but my thought was, does he then go Mets, Knicks, Terps football, Bengals, Terps basketball, Jets, and then Cardinals?
Johnny, that's too much.
I was curious what the ranking was.
That's too much. I would just say, look, for me, it's the Rangers, Knicks, and Mets. That's what it is. And I doesn't necessarily go in that order. I'm rooting for all three teams equally. You know, it was Tom Seaver, Walt Frazier, and Rod Gilbert for me as a kid.
You're not rooting for them equally now.
I mean, I'm a Ranger diehard. I mean, yeah. I am. There's no question about that. But the Knicks, you know, knocked the diehard out of me for 25 years. Mm-hmm. They were a mess.
Yeah.
Especially after, you know, Patrick Ewing left and the way that whole thing ended. And he's never really truly been accepted back for whatever reason. I don't know what's going on there, but at the moment I have to say that I appreciate the makeup of this team, the character of this team, the players' personalities of this team. This is the type of team that I can get 100% behind. So yeah, I am rooting for them, and I'd love to see them have a championship. And it's probably the one team in this city that has the biggest collection of fans rooting for it.
Oh yeah. Well, on the same page.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Got to be on the same, yeah.
I mean, we've all been through the ups and downs with the Knicks, the messes, the bad decisions, the crappy signings, the people running the team coaching, or the player, or the guy coaching the team. And finally, Jim Dolan got Leon Rose. Leon Rose basically went in the basement, never came out, never said a word, and quietly built one of the best teams in the league and has one of the best coaches in the league.
It's very difficult for me. I don't think I could choose between the Vikings or the Mets. To me, it's either one. Like, get me one of those two.
But I like what the Mets are doing, too, because, you know, now Steve Cohen has got the right guy running the team and got the right manager managing the team and got the most out of the players last year when we never thought that that was even going to happen in the first half of the season.
Jets or Mets, Fleegs? Which one?
Mets.
Okay. Is it, like, clear cut? Is it close?
It wasn't always. It's clear cut after the last couple of years, yeah.
Okay.
Just one of the organizations I can't tolerate anymore, and the other one has Steve Cohen, David Stearns, Juan Soto.
All right.
Some happy memories.
Some happy memories. That's what we're all looking for as sports fans, right? Some happy memories.
Oh, we had some happy memories. We had some, oh my God, this year.
Yeah. I spent a night with Carlos Mendoza over the break.
How'd that go?
It was great. I did this interview session with him. It was a 90-minute Q&A. At Bull Smith Tavern in Smithtown. And people submitted their questions. I had my own questions. You know that there wasn't like that many groundbreaking, interesting things out there that he said. He was great. He was awesome. He was affable. He was funny. But it's not like I came out of there with news, breaking news or anything. But one thing he said I thought was fascinating is how superstitious he is. Like, and if they're on a 3-4-5 game winning streak, he will take the same route to the stadium, even if it's the longest in traffic. He will not deviate. So, like, if there's, like, an accident or something, mm-hmm. he will stick on that same route to the stadium as opposed to go around it because they're on a 5-game winning streak.
Did you ask him if he wants Pete Alonso back?
I did.
And what did he say?
He said yes.
Okay. When's that happening?
I don't know. He said he didn't know, but he wanted Pete Alonso back. He said he also wanted Sean Manaea back, and like 2 seconds later.
And they got Manaea back.
Yeah, they got him
great.
Back.
Good signing.
Yeah, it was great. Brought his dad. His dad was there. It was pretty good.
How many people showed up?
Oh, I mean, there were hundreds. It was packed.
Was it really?
Absolutely packed.
See, but that's the thing. Like, you know as a fan, whether or not you can feel it, whether your team is like really ready to rock and roll. I think Ranger and Islander fans right now are really disappointed, really dismayed, and we're not thinking that these teams are going to come out of this funk that they're in. Devils fans, on the other hand, probably feel like they have a legitimate shot at the Stanley Cup right mm-hmm. now. They could feel it. Now, last year at this time, they couldn't feel it. They didn't have the goalie. They didn't play right. They lost a couple guys, key injuries. So they can feel it. Fleegs, me, you, Met fans, we can feel it for next year. we're feeling like this is going to be an exciting time. That's why you have that many people show up when you have Carlos Mendoza on a stage and you asking him questions. I think we feel it about the Knicks.
Yeah, well, that's
I can feel it about the Knicks. I don't feel it about the Giants. I don't feel it about the Jets right now. And that's why the Jets need somebody to give them instant credibility. And the Giants, I don't know what to tell you about them. I don't have the answers for them.
Yeah, it was funny. The first thing I said to Carlos Mendoza, I said, listen, a Mets manager on December 22nd doesn't generally get a standing ovation.
Exactly.
So just enjoy this, and then maybe next year you get a bigger one. But yeah, he was great.
But I am right. Like, I know you can feel it about the Vikings. I know what this game means Sunday night.
But I don't want to play it up so much, and then I come in and they lose, and I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want that. But it's too late now. It's too late.
Yeah, but you feel like when did you feel like the Vikings were a real, real good team? What game flipped?
You want to be honest? The fact that when they went into Seattle and won that game on the road.
Last week?
That was two weeks ago,
yeah.
I was like, okay, that's something that I don't normally see them do. Is where you go on the road against a halfway decent team, you know, in their building, elements aren't great, it's raining, and then they're facing adversity and they go right down the field and win the game like that. Like, that's not them. That's not their DNA.
It's this year.
And it hasn't been. So that really was like, okay, it's time to, enough's enough now. It's time.
So you are Kevin O'Connell. You're going into this game against the Lions. Everything's on the line. What's your initial thought going into the game as the head coach, and how are you playing this game? What way would you want him to play this game?
As aggressive as humanly possible.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not try to run it and, you know, just let it fly and let it go.
Go in there and take it from them.
Ooh, I
like just that. Take it from them.
Take it from them.
Snatch it away from
them. What would Joe Sipp say? Your high school football coach.
Pride, spirit, and heart. Pride. The three things that will carry us to a victory. And East Islip sucks. That's what he would also say.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I was shocked and saddened to hear that we had lost one of our Odyssey employees and a teammate here at Odyssey, Billy DeMayo, in the New Orleans terrorist attack. He was 25 years old. He worked upstairs as part of the national sales team. I don't know if I met him. I know he worked on a different floor, but just absolute tragedy. And people who knew and worked with him said he was just an awesome kid and just senseless, horrible victim of this terrorist attack. So I wanted to mention him today, honor him today on the show. And it was sent chills through me when I found out that, first of all, the terrorist attack alone is a lot to digest. And then to hear that someone that was here with us every day upstairs was a part of this and lost their life. Just horrible.
He
has
2 years here. He was an account manager initially, and then he went up to executive account or account executive at the National Enterprise and Direct Response Team upstairs on floor 11. We don't have a lot to do with those folks, but they are selling our programs. They're selling our platforms and everything else. And when we got the email yesterday from David Field, our CEO, it was heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah. And you think about a kid who's going down there, meeting some friends who are going to the Sugar Bowl, you know, partying on Bourbon Street, just living the life he wanted to live, doing things the right way. And for this to happen to him, it's just senseless and horrible. So our words, and we thinking about the family of Billy DeMayo and just everybody who knew him and was close with him, and it's just there's nothing you can say. There's just nothing you can say about something this bad.
An older sister, Samantha, a younger brother, Anthony. It's just
parents,
it's
Tracy and Bill.
It's just absolutely awful. And you know, obviously, many of us been through this back in 2001, where just out of the blue, something like this happens, and your life is turned upside down. And, you know, our prayers are with them. That's all you can say right now, and just hopefully they have the strength to get through this.
All right, CeeLo, we know you have one more update, and also a moment of the day. We have our picks coming up, so let's get to that.
All right, it's brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Just going to kind of empty the tank on some remaining clips here as we head into the weekend. Rapid fire. Yesterday, we had Jeff Olbrich kind of talking up Hassan Reddick, which made our eyes roll a bit. He also made sure to kiss Aaron Rodgers' ass one more time, just in case.
I've learned a lot about football, about life, about him, about myself, you know. So he challenges you in the best of ways, you know, and I'm a better human being for being around him this amount of time.
That's a nice thought. Better human being. Very good. Cowboys granted Ezekiel Elliott his release this week so that he could potentially catch on with a playoff team, which seemed unlikely.
To do what?
Right. Shannon Sharp on the
night. Front office?
Exactly, yes. Shannon Sharp on the Nightcap podcast, making the point in his own way, will say that really no one wants Zeke at this point.
At one point in time, Ezekiel Elliott was a thoroughbred. He was a racehorse. When he couldn't run anymore, you hooked him up to a plow and you turned him into a plow horse. Now he can't even plow anymore. So you know what time it is, Ocho? You put him out the pasture, because pretty soon we're going to have to turn his ass into glue.
A little strong.
Well, I don't know what, man. What?
Glue factory.
Was that necessary?
No, it was not necessary.
He's had a great career, man. Yeah. I mean, God almighty.
Yeah. Tough.
Kick a guy while he's down at the end of his, what, 12, 13 year career?
It's been a long one. A lot of success. Man. Yes. So I don't know if there's something personal there, but Shannon taking some shots.
I guess we all forget how we ended our careers. You know what I mean?
Some of us. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Ricky Williams. There's a blast from the past.
Wow.
It's like I said, we're all over the map here. On Johnny Manziel's podcast, recounting his decision to return.
What is this, drug-infested athlete?
Well, on his decision to return to Texas rather than enter the NFL draft at the time.
My girl started dating the quarterback, like the starting quarterback. And so I just was in a really bad spot, and we played Kansas State, and I had like 43 yards, and I was hurt, and I was just like, why the hell did I come back for this? You know, I was just in a low, low spot.
All right, so then how did he turn that into winning the Heisman Trophy that season?
My roommate was like, he was a smoker, and he just slipped me his bong. He was like, you just need to chill. I remember going upstairs in the loft, and I was just looking at the ceiling. And in that clear space, I started to imagine myself, like, playing better. Next 2 weeks, I had back-to-back 300-yard rushing games, and my season was back on track. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but I don't think I would have won the Heisman if I didn't have that sesh that night.
Makes a lot of sense, knowing what we came to know about Ricky as the years went along.
Oh, yeah.
So we can trace it back to that moment with his roommate at Texas when things weren't going so well.
I mean, think about that draft when they traded their entire draft for Ricky Williams, the Saints did.
Mike Ditka
put the dreads on his head. Oof. Not a great one there.
No. Don't you miss those personalities, though? I mean, those are the
days. Yeah. I mean, we have personalities.
Nobody would do that today. Nobody would even have the balls to do that today.
No.
Maybe John Gruden would.
Yeah. Put these dreads on, man. I don't care what you say. Well, he might, if he got back in the league, I think maybe he would be a little scared to do anything. But there was another point I was going to make about that, and I totally forgot because now I'm thinking about Mike Ditka with the dreads. So go ahead, CeeLo.
All right, if it comes back to you, feel free to interrupt. Speaking of personalities, not sure what Stephen A. was smoking yesterday on First Take as he was talking about Sam Darnold and his performance for the Vikings this year.
He deserves credit. We know he's had a stellar season, et cetera, et cetera. The man hasn't thrown for 300 yards since November 24th against Chicago. Okay. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, we acted like that. Let's not act like this is the second coming of Dan Marino.
Yeah, he threw for 347 against the Falcons December 8th. And how about 377 just this past Sunday?
What is he?
I
don't know.
And he's already over 4,000 yards passing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not even worth.
He needed to be fact-checked like me fact-checking Al this morning.
I mean, did they do that? Did someone do that?
In the clip, not that I saw. They might have eventually, but.
You're like a community note is what you are.
Yes. Well, it wasn't just me. I think anyone watching that pays attention to the NFL realized that was not accurate.
I do remember the thing now with Johnny Manziel and Ricky Williams.
Ah.
Did you see the pictures of Johnny Manziel on his birthday that he put out there with his girlfriend, who was Jose Canseco's daughter? It was very weird.
Hmm.
Yeah, there was two of them in a bathtub. He was like washing her hair naked. And she was, maybe she put that out there or he put that out there, one of the two. At first, I thought they were having sex in the bathtub, and I realized they were not. But yeah.
This is recent?
Yeah. That happened like a week ago. Manziel, Josie Canseco.
Oh, this is New Year's Eve.
No, I'm telling
no,
you.
No, this is something.
Johnny
is
Manziel Bath.
Bath.
Manziel Bath probably works.
All right, Bath.
There you go. Here you go. Yeah, right Ooh. There.
Man. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel and Josie Canseco appear in an intimate.
Yeah, I see the one you're talking
intimate
about.
Intimate bathtub video to celebrate his birthday.
Yes.
And Jose Canseco wants to kill Johnny Manziel right now.
Like you said, he's shampooing her hair.
Yeah.
But the look on her face and him holding her hair makes it look like
yeah.
something else.
Yeah, something's going on, which it still may be. I don't know. But yeah.
Combine the shampoo with the other thing, perhaps.
I mean, it was...
Sensual bath for the two of them.
Sensual bath. Do you take a sensual bath, CeeLo?
Do I?
Are you a sensual bath
I'm
guy?
I'm not, no.
You don't strike me as a sensual bath guy.
No, not a sensual bath guy. No, yeah, but I'm sure those people exist.
That was something else to put out there, boy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, well, good for them. Looks like they're living the life.
Certainly.
You did have Notre Dame over Georgia in the Sugar Bowl yesterday, 23-10. So on to the semifinals of the Fighting Irish. It'll be the Orange Bowl versus Penn State. So each of the top four seeds got bounced, including Oregon. And Nick Saban, of all people, came to their defense. Well, actually, their fan base on the McAfee show.
If I was an Oregon fan, I have to say this because this kind of bothers me. And you're the 13-0 number one seed, and you got to play Ohio State in the first round.
Yeah.
I'm not an internet guy, but if I was an Oregon fan, I'd be on the internet screaming about that.
Would you be in your basement, your underwear, too, doing it? Is that what you do? I know you love those internet people.
Yes, living in my mother's basement.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about this is that all the teams that had the byes lost.
Yes.
Because they haven't played, like, in 5 weeks.
Is that what it is?
I believe that's what it is.
All right.
I mean, you know, you get a rhythm going, and, you know, all of a sudden you got to stop for four weeks. And then you got to, and the team that you're playing is just coming off of a tough game that they played well in. So they got all the momentum going into the game.
Perhaps. We got the 5-8 seeds that'll meet in the semifinals coming up next
week. Instead of the byes, just add four more teams and let one play 16 and two play, you know, and so on and so forth.
All right. Well, since I'm running out of time, before we get to moment of the day, do you want Joe Buck on the Andrew Marchand podcast? Do you want Ranger sound boomer Joe Micheletti ripping into the defense? Or do we want an interesting sequence in the... Don't laugh. The audio's good. The Avalanche and the Sabres last night, something unusual happened. And the Colorado coach was dropping expletives after the game. He was not happy about what went on there. So there's your multiple choice.
You know my answer to that.
Well, I'm giving you all the information.
Well, what's your answer?
My answer would be Joe Buck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Okay. So let's do that. He was on with Andrew Marchand on his podcast, relaying some advice that his dad, the legendary Jack Buck, of course, used to offer back in the day.
Little kids would be like, Mr. Buck, I want to get into broadcasting and do it. Start smoking, kid. Get your voice deeper. And I listened to my early career, my highlights. It's like, and we go into the fifth inning now. And my voice is cracking because I'm basically sound like I'm Peter Brady going through puberty. So,
did you smoke?
Hell no.
And then he makes the point, I didn't have to because being around my dad and Cardinals broadcasters.
I grew up in a booth that had the engineer smoking, my dad smoking, Mike Shannon smoking, the guy in the back, my uncle who wasn't really my uncle was smoking. I mean, I was like in a smoker's lounge at an airport while they were broadcasting games, and I'm a little 8-year-old like sucking this stuff in. It's amazing I'm alive right now.
You know who also did the Andrew Marchand podcast? Chris Oliveiro.
Yes.
Did the
you
Andrew
guys were
Marchand
out. Podcast. Uh-huh. Yes. I did see some of those clips.
From Boomer's seat.
Yes.
That's where he did it from.
A little Zoom situation.
Right.
By the way, very disappointed. You have to pay for the Andrew Marchand. How many people, honestly?
How many
people are paying for
that? I'm one of 10 people that would have been interested to hear what Chris Oliveiro had to say, and I didn't pay for it.
I as well.
Yeah.
So, there's a great post-game podcast of Jerry being interrupted by Al calling in to scream about how you have to pay for the podcast.
Well, because Jerry had texted me because he said, hey, did you hear Chris Oliveiro on the podcast? I said, no, I didn't. He said, me neither. I'm going to listen on the ride home. So then I went to go listen to it, and I had to pay.
Yeah.
Not only do you have to pay, it's all convoluted how you have to get to the payment. Like,
He was working for The Athletic.
He's working for The Athletic, but his podcast is his own personal.
I mean, well, that's his own entity.
Mm-hmm. It is insane.
I mean, come on.
Who are you paying?
Andrew Marchand has a Substack, which is the thing that people
Sleestack?
No, what? No, Substack. Where like independent journalists create their stories, and then
and you can subscribe to
correct. You yeah, subscribe. So the podcast model's already been done. It's free, and you get advertised. Like, that's how podcasts work.
So did you guys end up leaving in the part where Jerry paused the podcast?
I'm not sure.
We did. Jerry wanted it in.
Oh, if I knew that, I would
have played. It's you that says, oh, we got to cut this out.
But
we
left it in. I'm sitting where you're sitting. Jerry's over here, and I could literally hear every word Al was saying. Not on speakerphone, just Jerry listening to the phone call. And I was like, oh, boy. And it was going right into the mic, so I could hear it in my headset as well.
Yeah.
So I figured they would want to.
I mean, he's got to give us cut that podcast. Out.
What's well, that? No, Jerry, Paul, we were recording the podcast, and Jerry's like, hold on, I got to take this call from Al.
Oh, I see, okay.
Thinking it was, you know, show-related or something. He was really just calling on his vacation to be angry and vent about
the... Could not hear
exactly.
Chris Olivero.
Yep.
Yeah,
100%.
Well, just walk down to Olivero's office and talk to him.
Yeah, but just that can't be working, that model of charging people to listen to a podcast. It just can't be working. And you're wasting the time of the people you're interviewing, because no one's hearing it.
Right. Absolutely. How much was it? Do you know?
$6.
$6
for the month. Oh, okay. $6 a month.
I was going to say, so more expensive than the Sunday ticket for week 18.
How
which
many
is
episodes
sliced
does
to
he
$4.99?
Do? I don't know. I guess he does one a week.
One a week.
So four episodes for $6. The problem is the this is well documented, charging $1 or charging $15. The idea that people are going to pay for it is the hump you must get over. So to say, oh, it's only $6. Yeah, it's only $6. But yeah, I got to go get my credit card. You know, it's not worth it.
You can't do and Apple Pay. You can't just do Apple
no.
Pay. The name.
So and I want to listen
like,
to it.
It's like congestion pricing for podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing what $5 used to get you in America. Now it doesn't even get you the Andrew Marchand podcast or over the Williamsburg Bridge. Neither one of those things you can get for $5. It's amazing.
Oh, boy. All right, Knicks Thunder tonight in Oklahoma City. We're looking forward to that one as two streaking teams will meet. We'll see who gets the better of that matchup. Jalen Brunson is questionable after missing the game the other night with the calf tightness. But like you said, I'd imagine he would be out there, so we'll kind of wait and see. Rangers did beat the Bruins 2-1. Islanders fell to Toronto at UBS Arena 2-1. The Nets had a road win over the Bucks, nearly coughing it up. It was a 20-0 run from Milwaukee before Brooklyn held on at the end. Rutgers took an 84-74 loss at Indiana. With that, let's get to Moment of the Day, shall we?
Yes. What? We don't have a sponsor,
we
so we're not going to scream.
I pointed to you. Kinda,
yeah, I mean, that was a weird one, so just go for
handed
it.
Handed
about
it off
that?
To you.
Yeah.
All right, so Eddie's wolf retreat to Montana led to a call from apparent wolf expert. This was Ralph from, I believe it was East Rockaway, as he would call to educate you guys.
Last week, Eddie said that wolves weren't smarter than dogs.
Yeah.
It's a fact that the dumbest species of wolf is 10 times smarter than the smartest species of dog. And Gio, you don't have a wolf at home. They're completely different.
Wait, I don't have a wolf at home?
No.
They told me there was some wolf in him.
No, there's no wolf in it. There's no,
there's no wolf at all?
No.
Damn it,
no
I thought wolf. I had a wolf at home.
You did a 23andMe on the
phone. Yeah. You think you tell me they're lying? I got to get my money back. Have you observed these wolves, Ralph?
No, I wrote a paper on them in high school.
Oh, nice.
Like 30 years
high
ago.
School. Nice. 30 years ago. Did you get an A on that?
I did.
You don't have a wolf at home, Gio. It ain't a wolf. It's a dog.
Dog?
And the dumbest wolf is still 10 times smarter than the smartest dog. It can smell a fart from 45 miles away. A squirrel fart. So don't even tell me. And I'm a guy who's got Malamutes. I wrote a paper on it 30 years ago in high school.
He's probably right.
No, I think he is right, actually.
And that's the best part, I would say. Yeah.
Very good, Seal. Go.
Moment of the day.
He's got a couple Malamutes, that guy.
Must be nice.
Must be nice.
What I want to know about wolf education, I go out to Long Island. That's where you get your info from.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Geo Friday football picks are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN. I have a three-game lead going into the final week. It'll be back-to-back championships for me in the regular season if I can ward off these guys. But I'm still under 500, and that's a little bit embarrassing. 38, 41, and 1. So here we go. It's a week 18. CeeLo is here to give us the games and also give us Jerry's picks that he texted Al at 3 in the morning.
Yes.
So we got to run through these a little bit quicker than normal, but that's okay.
All right.
So what do we got?
You got 5 games where at least one team has something to play for, which is nice. So we'll start with the Saturday Nighter. Good one between the Steelers and the Bengals in Pittsburgh. Cincinnati on the road, laying 1.5.
Man, they're, you know, normally I would take the home dog here, and I would take the Steelers. I just don't like the way the Steelers have been playing, and I love the way that Joe Burrow has been playing, even though he has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns against the Steeler defense. I think it's a tight game, but I will take the Bengals, and I'll lay the 1.5 points.
Yeah, the Steelers really going to lose out in a regular season and then go into the playoffs and then end up maybe going to Baltimore and losing that game, too?
And is Joe Burrow going to lose the last game of the year and keep his team out of the playoffs?
I don't know. It's a tough one. That's why we pick the games. I'm going to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one to end on a high note because they know how important it is to go to Houston as opposed to Baltimore. And they will find that extra gear. It's been a winning team all season. I think they do it again.
All right, Gio, you're Lone Wolf or Malamute as Jerry's taking the Bengals. Game number 2, the Bucs at home. Baker Mayfield and company controlling their playoff destiny. They host the Saints. Tampa Bay laying 13.5 in that game, Boomer.
Yeah, you know, last week they beat the Carolina Panthers 48-14. They beat the Chargers 40-17. I just think that the Bucs are on fire. I love Baker Mayfield, love his energy. I'll lay the points, and I'll take the home favorite, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I don't know how you could pick the Saints to do anything right now. I mean, their offense is as bad as it gets in the NFL. I mean, they got shut out by the Green Bay Packers a couple of weeks ago. The Bucs are beating these bad teams, beating the brakes off them, so I think 13.5 is... it's probably not enough, so give me the Buccaneers.
Wolf pack on that one. 3 for 3. Oh, Jerry's got the Bucs as well. We'll stop with the Wolf jokes now. That's it.
Bet the Saints.
All right, game number 3. The Broncos are in a win-and-in situation, controlling their playoff destiny. They're at home against the Chiefs. It'll be Carson Wentz for Kansas City. Denver, a 10.5-point favorite against Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, you can't sit everybody. And, you know, the defense for Kansas City is still going to be represented and represented well. You know, I think Denver is going to win the game, but I think Kansas City will keep it within the number. There are some guys that are auditioning for the future, and Carson Wentz happens to be one of those guys. And I'm sure that they'll play tough, so I'll take the 10.5 points. I'll take the Chiefs, but I do think that Denver will win the game.
You know, I wanted to not just pick some of the same games you were to make this interesting going into the last week, but I can't. 10.5 is way too much. There's a thing they call, I don't know if you heard of this before, culture.
Culture.
There's a culture going on there in Kansas City.
What about the Denver culture?
No. Kansas City's got the culture, the KC culture, and they're not going to let something like this, they're not going to get blown out by 10 points or more. There's just no way.
Remember the last time it was the last game of the year and Kansas City went in there and it didn't mean anything and a guy by the name of Patrick Mahomes made his first start?
That's right.
Yeah.
A little different than Wentz, but
yeah, and the rest was history.
Yeah,
give me the Chiefs.
All right, Jerry's on the Broncos. Game number 4. The Dolphins need help from Kansas City. They need them to beat Denver, and then they have to beat the Jets to get into the playoffs. They are, of course, visiting Aaron Rodgers and the Jets at MetLife Stadium. The Dolphins are a 1.5-point favorite.
Do we know if Tua's playing in this game or not, or do we think it's Tyler Huntley? I think it's Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's most of what I've been reading and hearing, and if that's the case, give me the Jets. Give me Aaron Rodgers going out on a high one and getting his 500th touchdown pass. Maybe he'll get 502, 3, or 4 along with that. So hopefully that's the case for him. I'll take the Jets one last time.
It's amazing that the Dolphins are hanging around here. It really is. And Tyreek Hill does not look to be the same player even when Tua is in there. But the Jets are the biggest bunch of losers I've ever seen in my life. And I will say that every single week as long as they're still playing football or still around. I will never, ever, ever pick this Jets team again. I said that a few weeks ago, so here we go. Even though the Dolphins are a mess and Tua's probably not going to play Give me the Miami Dolphins 10 times out of 10.
Jerry agrees with Gio to some extent. He is on the Dolphins. Game number 5, of course, the marquee game of the Week 18 schedule. The Sunday Nighter in Detroit for the NFC North crown, the one seed, home field advantage to Super Bowl 59, all that good stuff. The Lions are 2.5-point favorite at home against the Vikings.
All right, I'm going to be very quick here. In my CBS Sports Minute, I picked the Lions to win 31-30.
I'm probably going to pick the Vikings.
I'm taking the Vikings and the 2.5 points.
Yeah, it would be very Vikings-like to go 14-3 and get the 5 seed and have the team that beat them out be a team in the division. It just feels very on-brand for them. And I can't predict success. I can't do it. So I'm gonna also take the Detroit Lions. Well, no, not also. I'm taking the Detroit Lions plus the 2.5. Minus the 2.5.
As is Jerry. He's with you on that one, Gene. There you go.
All right. FanDuel Sportsbook, sponsor of the Boomer and Geo Friday Football Picks, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN.